Hey, welcome to Intentional Living Center today. I'm Dr. Randy Carlson. You know, the roots of this ministry go back to parenting. That's where we began, Parent Talk, and talking about how to be an intentional parent, effective parent, a godly parent, raising responsible adults. Over the years, we realized it requires intentional living, not only in parenting, but in every area. But we always enjoy coming back and visiting on this parenting topic. And today on having respectful children, I wrote a lesson, a book, and a study guide on raising a responsible adult. And part of it is teaching them respect. But how in the world do you raise a respectful child in a disrespectful world? A couple things up front. Make sure the expectations are clear that we're going to have a home where it's where respect matters. The other thing I've noticed is that when parents model it themselves, that's the most powerful way for kids to learn. When parents are respectful to each other and to the child, it sets a platform. That's the way this home is going to work. Love to have you join in. If you have a comment, 888-888-1717. Let's go to our calls, Louisiana. We're going to head first. We got Boosie's on the line. Welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. What's your comment today or question?
I have a comment, and it's about puppy love at the age of 11 or 12. And I was infatuated with a classmate. And on Saturday afternoons, our sixth grade would always meet at the skating rink. My parents knew where I was. But I was close with my parents, and they had explained the birds and bees and boundaries and consequences and things like that. So I was trusted. And so, you know, with that said, when I seen Glenn, oh my goodness, my heart would pound and I'd get all sweaty and fainty and, you know, I'll never forget his name, and I'm almost 60 years old now, you know, but your first puppy love, you never forget. And I think it's appropriate today as it was, you know, 60 years ago.
Well, we have, you know, God's created us as emotional beings, and those things happen. The problem, as you know, I mean, we look back, all of us, when we were young, we can't process things very clearly. When you're 12 years old, everything is a major issue. You know, if you have a friend and then they reject you, give you the wrong look, it's like your whole world comes to an end. And today there's so much pressure in young people's lives. And we see with, especially with the social world now, as young people are really connected in the digital world, that the pressure even increases. And so for those who don't know, we talked to a daddy some time ago, Tony, who I think you're referring to, who was concerned about, you know, I got this 12-year-old who wants to date. I don't know what to do. And our message has been, well, obviously there's going to be friendship and so on, but monitor it carefully. Kids need to learn about what's appropriate, what God's intention is. You got to sit down with a 12-year-old and say your emotions are going to be up one day and down the next. It's just a part of what's going to happen. And as you help your children learn those things, it can be very intentional for you as a parent in training them. All right, Boosie, thank you for your call. Let me go to Ryan in Michigan with a comment on the program today. Welcome, Ryan. Appreciate your call.
Sure thing. I've heard a couple of your callers call in, and I think it's really important to have goals. And how I implement goals is through values. And so we have one value in our family, and it's attitude of gratitude. Mm. And so it's like our family motto. And I'll say it to the kids, we have an attitude of, and they repeat back to me, gratitude. And I use that as a foundation whenever I want to discipline. I don't say, you're in trouble. I say, you're in trouble because you didn't have an attitude of gratitude. And then we explain why. And
what difference has this made in your home?
Oh, it's the kids. It's done very well. It's done very well.
How old are the kids?
7 and 9.
Uh-huh. Now, when you talk about goals, what kind of goals do you have 7 and 9-year-olds work on?
Well, it's hard to have like school, sports, listening to their mother type stuff. but it's hard to have like I run my own business, yeah. And I have 5 core values in my business. And I have the goals of the people to do their jobs. And whenever an employee doesn't do their job, we go back to the values to discipline, not you didn't do your job, therefore you're bad.
Mm.
It's our values, our hard work, our integrity, or getting along well with others. And we use those to say it's the company's values that drive your decision making.
That's good. Because values then become sort of, if I have this value, when I get into making a decision, I don't need to have Ryan here to tell me what to do because I know this is a value that we have. So how is my decision going to support that value?
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. And then the other thing I do is when I tell my kids, you know, we all try, you know, raise our voice every once in a while, but I always say to them, I tell them what they're going to do. And then I say, yes, dad. Or if their mother says it, I say, yes, mom. And by them repeating back to me, yes, dad, I understand that they heard me and mm-hmm. they're processing it. And they tend, the more you do it, the more consistent I am with it, the more they obey in a sense.
Well, Ryan, you're doing a couple things that we teach at Intentional Living are very important. One is you have clear goals. There's expectations that are very clear. And then as a dad, you're developing the kind of habits. You're helping your kids develop habits on the way they think and how they respond. You're consistent in following through. And I just honestly believe you can't lose in the long term if you stay with the right kind of habits, developing those habits and then following through consistently day in and day out over an extended period of time. That's how you raise a responsible adult. That's how you make a business successful. It's the same principles. You see that. Same principles that are in business, work, and the family.
Yeah. And the last thing I like to say is, you know, so I tell my kids attitude of gratitude, and then I say your attitude determines your, and they say altitude. So now it's like a vision for the future of this actions today cement my future.
That's right.
And, you know, like if we're out with friends and other kids are being disrespectful, I just let it happen. And then in the car ride home, I'll say, hey, let's talk about today's event. Were those other kids being attitude of gratitude? And they'll start saying, no, they weren't. Because kids learn from their adults and they learn from their peers.
That's right.
You don't point out you also point out the good events, but you also point out the bad so they can learn from both.
Excellent. Hey, Ryan, appreciate your call today.
Sure thing.
All right. Keep up the good work. There's an intentional dad right there. He gave you a little mini lesson on some things that can make a difference in your home as well. We're talking parenting today, respectful kids, being respectful parents. How do we do this? My phone line's open with your question comments at our comment line, 888-888-1717.
Remember when tying a string around your finger helped remind you of something? Well, it's not a thing anymore since that one guy ruined it for the rest of us.
That's really tight. I can't feel my finger anymore. Help!
That's why at the Intentional Living Store, you can get your own wristband. It's a physical reminder that the intentional life is lived one right thing at a time. And when you use that wristband, the Power of One Thing book, and the free online Intentional One Thing Challenge, you'll go from good intentions to developing transformational habits. The Intentional Living Store at theintentionallife.com.
Thanks, Mom. Hi, I'm Dr. Randy Carlson with another Intentional Living Minute. Thanks to all moms today for your sacrifice and for your love, for passing on to the next generation the values and beliefs that hopefully will lead them to become strong followers of Christ. Now, dads are great, but moms are very special. They're a gift. In fact, when you look at the story of Jesus on the cross, you realize that one of his last acts from the cross was to make sure that his mother was cared for. My mother's been in heaven for several years now, and I do miss talking to her. Whenever we talk, she would encourage me and share her love with me. Even as an adult man, I appreciated that. So on this weekend, if you have an opportunity, please show love to your mother. Let her know you love her and appreciate her. Encourage her. It'll mean a lot to her. And when you do, that's intentional living.
Visit us at theintentionallife.com.
Yes, it is. This is Mother's Day weekend. Happy Mom's Weekend to all of you moms out there today. By the way, that was the Intentional Living Minute you just heard. We record that, and every day a brand new one goes out around the world on radio and online. 60 seconds just to encourage you to be intentional for the day. If you'd like to hear it again or you'd like to share it with someone that maybe could be encouraged by it, just go to facebook.com/intentionalliving. And just like our page when you're there, by the way, and a new video will come to your news feed every day, Monday through Friday. That's facebook.com/intentionalliving. Here in the month of May, you know, we're talking parenting today. We have a very special gift for every person who requests it as you share a gift for the Ministry of Intentional Living. It's our Parents Night Out DVD, recorded at one of my evenings with parents, a couple of hours of teaching on the principles of intentional living and raising a responsible adult. It's our gift to you when you request it with your best gift for the ministry. You can go to our website to do that, safe and securely, theintentionallife.com, theintentionallife.com. Click on donate or call during West Coast business hours, 888-888-1717. We got, Amanda's on the line in Arizona. Let's talk about schoolwork. Hey, Amanda, welcome to the program.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Appreciate it. What ages are your children?
I have one who just turned 18 on the 22nd, one who turned 21 on the 21st, and I have a 23-year-old son, a 20-year-old son.
All right, so you've been through the teen years and early adults, and
yeah.
I can hear the confusion. By the time you've raised your kids, you're not even sure what date your birthday is any longer.
Yeah, right.
All right, so it says something about homework or schoolwork. How did you help them through that?
Yeah, my 18-year-old, she had a senior project that she's known was going to be due for the last couple weeks. And last week, she had called me asking me, hey, do you think you can help me out? It's a PowerPoint. We made arrangements for me to pick her up on Monday, this past Monday. And she ended up messaging me yesterday and telling me, hey, Mom, I never got it done. And it's due tomorrow. I have to present it tomorrow. And mind you, I went out of the way to offer her to come to use my tablet and to take her to the library, but she thought she had it handled. And then when she messaged me yesterday, she was telling me, Mom, I can't focus. I can't get this done. And all I did was, rather than say, hey, I'll come pick you up, I had already gave her that opportunity. So I just simply told her, you know, Derek, you got this. You can do it. I know you're smart enough. You live right down the street from a library. Go get it done. Mm-hmm. And I know you could do it. And so she ended up later on in the evening messaging me, telling me she got it done. And, you know, I could have very easily just went and gone her again. And, you know, maybe nothing would have gotten accomplished. But she knew the ball was left in her court, like I heard you guys speaking of.
Which is key. That's the key, Judy. If you don't leave, I'm sorry, Amanda, if you don't leave the ball in their court, what you can do is jump in and do things for your kids. And here's a fact. When we jump in too soon and do for our children things that they're capable of doing for themselves, we weaken them. Because there's a message, it's subtle, and the intention is good, but the output is not what we want. The intention is, well, I want to help you get it done. The output is, the message somewhere along the line is, you must not be capable enough or smart enough or wise enough to get it done for yourself, and I got to help you do it, or I have to do it for you. And that's not good. I was just thinking while you were talking, Amanda, but I remember my wife, Donna, and I, we had a trip out of overseas trip when the kids were younger, and so the kids stayed with Grandma and Grandpa. And our daughter, Andrea, she was, I don't know, not in junior high or something, and she needed to do her science project. She didn't get her science project done. So we're gone for a week on this trip, and when we got back, here was Andrea's science project. I said, that's amazing. I mean, how'd you put the whole solar system together with all the little things? Well, Grandpa did it for me. So Grandpas, you have the right, I guess, to step in and do that kind of thing. But parents, when we do for our children the things they should do for themselves, we don't strengthen them. So my dad did I think my dad got an A on that sixth grade project. Oh boy. Some of you relate to that. All right. Judy wanted to comment on a caller we had a while ago, Tony, let me play Tony. Let's play Tony's call. And then Judy, I know you want to respond to it, as a comment to Tony. So here's Tony. Go ahead.
My middle daughter, who is a fantastic child, although reluctant to give me any type of information, I believe is going to have her first date. And she's 12, And we just kind of stumbled onto this information, being me and my wife, stumbled onto this information. And I'm not exactly sure how to handle this situation because this is the first time I'm having to deal with it.
Yeah, hear your heart, Tony. Tony, we had a lot of comments for Tony about dating and all of that. And I know Tony's trying to figure it out because all of us as parents are trying to negotiate through these years and know what to do. Well, Judy called in after she heard that and wanted to comment here live on today's program. Judy, welcome to Intentional Living.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. What's your perspective? What's been your experience?
Okay. Right now I'm a great-grandmother, by the way. I have, 10 great-grandchildren. I had a 16-year-old son. I had a 18-year-old one in college, right behind the 16-year-old, which he would have been 14 because this was the 16-year-old's birthday. His dad went out to get in the car to take the kids to school because they were running late. And he came back in and he says, "Mom, I got to talk to you. Mom, I've got to go talk to my girlfriend's mom and dad because she's pregnant and she won't tell them." So anyways, I melted to the floor, which is that's where I was when my husband got home and says to me, "What's wrong with you?" I was still sitting in the middle of the living room, just totally wiped out. So anyways, we did not handle it right. I knew then it wasn't been handled right. I just didn't know where to find my answer or find out how we should handle it or what we should do. So anyways, he was 16 when his son was born. So let's go the next generation. Oh, by the way, mom and dad are still together. They're still married. Mm. They had two more children.
Well, that is a story in and of itself.
That part of the story is wonderful. Okay, now we'll get to the next story. My 16-year-old grandson, he was only 15 when I found out they were going to have their first child. I had warned my daughter-in-law. I said, "Don't be careful." Well, she's all happy and goo-goo-eyed. She wanted grandkids. She wanted them while she was young and so on and so forth. And she thinks it's absolutely great that, after all, she...
So, Judy, let me see if
over 25 years.
Let me understand. Your son, 16 years old, had a son, and then that son grew up.
Is now 15. He had a set of twins that were stillborn.
Well,
and I said, "Did you not teach him about the birds and the bees?"
Well, I think that, Judy, it's a reminder. I have to jump in for time-wise, but it's a reminder that our job, and I think for Tony and others, our job as parents is to be training our children, helping them develop relationships, understand what godly relationships are. And let me just say, as parents, you have to know what's going on with your kids at all times. You have to be involved in their life, in their friendship. And we've always taught, if you're going to have your kids interacting with others, have it at your house. Know who's talking to who and what's going on. You may not like the mess and you may not like the noise, but when you have the kids at your house and you have the home game advantage, you know, it's the home court advantage when they're at your home and you get to know who the friends are and what the relationships are. All right. Well, thank you, Judy. Appreciate your call. I know there's a lot more to your story, and I appreciate it. And your warning certainly is being heard and sent out to others. We'll be back with some more questions and calls from Intentional Living in a minute.
This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of our listeners. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back.
We see increase in anxiety and depression. We see increase in suicide. And a lot of these things are just a part of the culture in which we live. And yet we come back to what Paul says, be anxious for nothing. Does that verse trouble you as much as it troubles me? Be anxious for nothing. Where did Paul write this? He was in prison. He knew what the end was going to be. You talk about a guy that could have anxiety. There wasn't a college debt or being defriended, you know, in social media. Paul's in prison knowing what the future's about, and he has the audacity to write, be anxious for nothing. That's a powerful thought for us as Christians today, and it should trouble us. You know, that's an excerpt from the teaching this month, which is our gift to you for all of our members, for those of you who requested it. It's how to rest an anxious mind. You know, the scripture says, be anxious for nothing. Paul says, be anxious for nothing. How do you do that in a world of anxiety? And this month, the teaching is on how to rest that anxious mind. So members, watch for it. It's coming your way. If you're not a member, listen, because something very special. You join us today, and if you request it, it's sort of our monthly newsletter on CD. We'll send it to you, How to Rest an Anxious Mind, when you become a new member of Intentional Living. And you'll start receiving teaching each and every month thereafter. And when you become a new member today and share that first gift, and if you request it, we'll also send you the Parents Night Out DVD, a teaching on parenting from one of my conferences. Just go to theintentionallife.com and click on donate, theintentionallife.com, or call during West Coast business hours, 888-888-1717, and let us know. We'd love to hear from you. I see Rob has stepped into the studio.
Yeah.
Follow up, I heard you were talking to Judy offline there a little bit.
Yeah, and if you just tuned in, Judy wanted to respond to Tony. Tony has a 12-year-old daughter. She maybe is going on her first date. He doesn't know what to do. So Judy, you know, her story was that her 16-year-old son was suddenly expecting a child. Well, I was just talking to her, and I said, well, Judy, if you could give Tony one piece of advice, what would it be? Like one sentence. She gave me two words. Get help.
Yeah.
Get help. And, you know, that just resonated with me because that's the situation. You have a guy, here he is. He's got a 12-year-old daughter. You can tell it's kind of rocked his world that she might be going out on a first date, and she's only 12. Now, here's a lady who's been through this, and her thing is, don't go through this alone. And I think those are good words, Dr. Randy, because often you talk about that we face these things, and we're not intentional. And sometimes like this, we need to get outside. You talk about surrounding yourself with good people. Talk about that, because I think that's what she's trying to tell Tony. Surround yourself with good people.
Yeah.
Don't go through this and look back and say, I should have gotten help.
Well, that's it. You know, we need to know what our kids are doing, and you need to be around other parents that are going to be supportive for you in the process of raising those kids. You know, I always tell parents, if you're going to err on the side of making sure you know what's going on, because kids will say sometimes, well, you're too nosy. Well, parents got to be a little nosy. That's our job. Our job is to do this and do it intentionally. So thank you, Rob, for bringing that in from Judy, because I know she wanted to get that on. All right, Crystal in Michigan, she had a question for me. Go ahead.
I am recently married, well, about to be married, and I have three young kids. Two of them are three young boys. Two of them are my stepsons, and one is my own with my husband. And my boys are 6, 4, and 1.5. And I just had a couple questions about. All of my children, especially the youngest, who are very strong-willed, my youngest especially, I feel like sometimes maybe I'm not. It's kind of hard with a one-year-old. You don't know where, for me personally, I guess, just at what point, you know, do you let them have rein in their life or just deal with them? Like today at the doctor's office, he was running all around, and I couldn't get him to sit on my lap. And also my 6-year-old. Along with the video games thing, he absolutely loves them. And we do limit his time with them, but I've had a lot more concerns about, because he'll come up to me and I'll tell him, you know, he says he wants to play on his game. I said, why don't you go spend some time with his brothers, because he was sad because his brothers didn't want to play with him. And I told him, I'm like, well, you've been playing on your game a lot. And he's like, I just want to play my game all the time.
Are you feeling pretty overwhelmed, Crystal?
A lot sometimes, yeah.
Yeah, listen, let me just say, Crystal, to you and other parents who feel overwhelmed, your best gift is to get some support. Now, as a single mom, that can be particularly difficult. You need a break for yourself so you're getting re-energized. But structure is such an important thing, especially with the little ones. Routines, follow through on what are consequences for disobedience, if it's going to be timeout or removing a privilege, whatever it is, but to be consistent with it. And also remember, kids know when you're out in public, they can get you there at the doctor's office or at the grocery store. Those are the times kids always are acting up, and you have to be bold enough sometimes to leave the grocery cart and leave and just say, hey, that's the consequence. We're not going to continue this. You may have to get some help and come back and shop at another time. But to be intentional and follow through is really important. Yeah, I just want to say thanks to those of you who are supporting us because of it. You make stories like this one possible. God bless you.
Hi, this is Steve. I had really received a blessing yesterday from listening to 4 CDs from Intentional Living. God's teaching me that I can't just sit back and expect others to fix my life, but he also tells us certain things that we have to do and take action and take responsibility for our lives. And so the intentional living concept is just starting to sink in with me and potentially beginning of something great in my life. And thank you for intentional living.
Well, listen, thank you, Steve, and I'm glad that friends all around the country are making this program possible. Let me tell you, as you begin your journey, this is not a journey about perfection. Because I know it's easy to gravitate to something like intentional living thinking, oh, there's the solution if I'm just more perfect. It's not about perfection because we would all miserably fail. It's about simply doing the next right one thing. And when you fail, get back up and keep going. Planning ahead, knowing that there's a purpose for your life, a purpose for your parenting, a purpose for marriage, a purpose for work, finding that purpose, living it every day, developing the right kind of godly habits. And then a big topic we talk about often is decluttering your life, getting rid of things that will just keep you from doing what God wants you to do and then living it every day. Well, thank you for joining us. If you missed any part of today's program or want to hear it again on demand at our website, just go to theintentionallife.com. We have all of our archive programs there for you as well. Thank you, Joel, for helping out again today on the board. Appreciate it. Rob Riegel, thank you, Rob, our senior producer. And Sally, thank you for helping today as well. If you want to leave a comment, do so at 888-888-1717. Have a great Mother's Day weekend. See you next time from Intentional Living.